Welcome to Hot Off the Wire, a daily podcast that looks at the top news, business, sports, and entertainment stories as reported by the Associated Press. I'm Terry Lipschitz, managing editor at the National Newsroom at Lee Enterprises and your curator of news. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire through Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss daily news updates. And now the latest headlines.
AP News, I'm Marcela Sanchez. U.S. government's partial shutdown is entering its third day, and House Speaker Mike Johnson is facing tough choices. A first test will come this afternoon during a committee meeting when Johnson will need his own GOP majority to advance the federal funding package after Democrats refuse to provide the votes for speedy consideration. Johnson said he's hopeful work can wrap up for a full House vote at least by tomorrow. In an interview, Johnson said it was President Trump who struck a deal with senators to separate out funding for the Department of Homeland Security from a broader package.
The president is leading this. It's his play call to do it this way. He has already conceded that he wants to turn down the volume, so to speak, and make sure this is done in an appropriate way. What a great step it was to put Tom Homan in charge of the situation in Minneapolis and Minnesota. He has 40 years' experience. He's brought a steady hand to the wheel.
Audio courtesy Fox News Sunday. The Department of Homeland Security would be funded temporarily to February 13th, setting up a deadline for Congress to try to find consensus on new restrictions on immigration and customs enforcement operations. Tens of thousands of people gathered in rural Pennsylvania to see Punxsutawney Phil give his annual weather prediction. The groundhog's predictions are pretty straightforward. If he sees a shadow when emerging from his tree stump, it means six more weeks of winter. If he doesn't see his shadow, an early spring is on the way. And his prediction was...
It is my job this February 2 to look to the skies and report back to you that there is a shadow here on my ground. Six more weeks of winter abound!
Beijing is criticizing the Dalai Lama's first Grammy win, describing the music industry award for an audiobook, narration, and storytelling as, quote, a tool for anti-China political manipulation. This is AP News.
There's nothing like being in the stands cheering on your favorite team. Game Time is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. Plus, their Game Time guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. Get the best deals on sports tickets. Download the Game Time app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. Game Time.
AP correspondent Karen Shamas reports on the reopening of the Rafah crossing between Gaza and Egypt.
Egyptian and Israeli security officials have said that Gaza's Rafah border crossing with Egypt has reopened for limited traffic. An Egyptian official said only 50 Palestinians were allowed to cross in each direction in the first day of the crossing's operation. Although the opening represents a key step following the October 2025 ceasefire, it's a mostly symbolic development on the ground, as few people will be allowed to travel in either direction, and no goods will be going into the war-torn territory. Israel's military controls the area between the Rafah crossing and the zone where most Palestinians live. About 20,000 Palestinian children and adults needing medical care hope to leave devastated Gaza via the crossing, according to Gaza health officials. I'm Karen Shamas.
And I'm Marcela Sanchez, AP News.
5-year-old Liam Conejo Ramos and his father have been released from an ICE facility in Texas following a judge's order. The boy and his father were detained by immigration officers in a Minnesota suburb January 20th and were transferred to the Texas facility in Dilley. Texas Representative Joaquin Castro says the two have now returned to their state. Images of the boy wearing a blue bunny hat and Spider-Man backpack, surrounded by immigration officers, drew outrage about the Trump administration's crackdown in Minneapolis, and neighbors and school officials accused federal immigration officers of using the child as bait, telling him to knock on the door of his house so that his mother would answer. The Department of Homeland Security has called the accusation an abject lie. Representative Castro wrote a letter to Liam telling him that he has moved the world. Iranian Supreme Leader Ayatollah Khamenei says that if the Americans wage a war at this time, it will be a regional war. And Khamenei says that Iran is not the instigator and doesn't seek to attack any country. But he says the Iranian nation will deliver a firm blow to anyone who attacks or harasses it. President Donald Trump has threatened to militarily strike Iran over its crackdown on recent nationwide protests. And the comments from the 86-year-old Khamenei are the most direct threat he's made so far, after Trump sent U.S. warships to the Arabian Sea. I'm Donna Warder.
Democratic Christian Menefee wins the Texas U.S. House seat in a special election that will narrow Republicans' already slim majority. The Harris County attorney won the runoff Saturday in the heavily Democratic 18th District to replace Sylvester Turner, who died last March. Menefee had a message for President Trump.
The results here tonight are a mandate for me to work as hard as I can to oppose your agenda, to fight back against where you're taking this country, and to investigate your crimes.
Also in Texas Saturday, Democrat Taylor Rimmatt won a special election for the state Senate, flipping a reliably Republican district that President Trump won by 17 points in 2024. I'm Julie Walker.
President Donald Trump says he has told Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem to not intervene in protests in Democrat-led cities unless local authorities ask for federal help. This amid increased criticism over his administration's immigration crackdown.
The crime-ridden cities are all Democrat-run cities. And if they want help, they have to ask for it. Because if we go in, all they do is complain.
But Trump writes on his Truth social media site, quote, "We will, however, guard, and very powerfully so, any and all federal buildings that are being attacked by these highly paid lunatics, agitators, and insurrectionists," end quote. Donna Warder, Washington.
Questions after a Mexican immigrant in federal custody was taken to a Minneapolis hospital earlier this month with broken bones in his face and skull. A CT scan revealing at least 8 skull fractures and life-threatening hemorrhages in at least 5 areas of his brain, according to court documents. ICE agents initially claiming Alberto Castanega Mondragon had tried to flee while handcuffed and ran headfirst into a brick wall. But a doctor and 5 nurses at Hennepin County Medical Center told the Associated Press, on condition of anonymity, that could not possibly account for the fractures and bleeding. In court documents, a deportation officer skirted the issue. DHS did not respond to requests for comment. I'm Julie Walker.
The House returns Monday to vote on a funding package passed by the Senate on Friday. If passed by the House, it would avoid a prolonged government shutdown and fund nearly every federal department through the end of the budget year in September. But it funds the Department of Homeland Security for just 2 weeks. Democratic Senator Chuck Schumer says the Democrats and the American people want ICE's, quote, thuggery, end quote, to end.
If our colleagues are not willing to enact real change, they should not expect Democratic votes.
Schumer says Democrats are demanding an end to ICE's roving patrols and enforcement of accountability and face masks off, body cameras on. Donna Warder, Washington.
Don Lemon has been released from custody in Los Angeles after being hit with federal civil rights charges for covering an anti-immigration enforcement protest at the city's church in St. Paul on January 18th.
The First Amendment of the Constitution protects that work for me and for countless of other journalists who do what I do. I stand with all of them, and I will not be silenced.
A grand jury in Minnesota indicted Lemon and 8 others on charges of conspiracy and interfering with the First Amendment rights of worshipers. It alleges Lemon conspired with activists and some other journalists who entered the church, intimidated a pastor, and blocked in and frightened congregants. Organizers called the protest Operation Pull-Up, saying they wanted to let people know that a pastor at the church ran the Immigration and Customs Enforcement field office in St. Paul. An Emmy award-winning independent journalist, Georgia Fort, live-streamed her arrest.
I should be protected under the First Amendment.
She spoke after her hearing in Minneapolis.
Do we have a constitution?
I'm Jennifer King.
Air travelers in the U.S. without a real ID or another acceptable form of identification, like a passport, are subject to a new fee starting Sunday. The $45 charge is not a penalty or a fine, but payment for non-compliant travelers to use the TSA's new alternate identity verification option called Confirm ID. The process can take up to 30 minutes and does not guarantee travelers will make their flight if their identity cannot be verified. DHS says most U.S. travelers are already compliant and the fee is meant to encourage the rest. Obtaining the ID means taking more documents to the Motor Vehicle Agency than most states require for regular IDs. I'm Julie Walker.
President Trump's pick of Kevin Warsh to lead the Federal Reserve could bring sweeping changes to the global economy's most dominating central bank. Warsh has long backed higher interest rates. The president's demanded they be lower and has hammered current chair Jerome Powell for not cutting them. Asked if Warsh committed to cuts, the president says he did not ask. It wouldn't be appropriate.
But he certainly wants to cut rates. I've been watching him for a long time.
If confirmed, Warsh would face the challenge of keeping the Fed's traditional political independence while also placating the president. Top Senate Banking Committee Democrat Elizabeth Warren says given his own past views and a president seemingly intent on dominating the Fed.
Donald Trump has made clear he wants a sock puppet, and Kevin Warsh evidently passed that test.
Sagar Magani, Washington.
Britain's royal family facing a fresh round of embarrassment after the latest release of documents from the U.S. investigation into Jeffrey Epstein reveals unsavory details about the relationship between the convicted sex offender and a correspondent who appears to be the man formerly known as Prince Andrew. Emails released by the U.S. Justice Department include an invitation for Epstein to dine at Buckingham Palace, Epstein's offer to introduce his correspondent to a 26-year-old Russian woman, and photos that appear to show Andrew kneeling over an unidentified person who is lying on the floor. On Saturday, British Prime Minister Keir Starmer suggested Andrew tell American investigators whatever he knows about Epstein's activities. I'm Julie Walker.
Records show that the FBI started investigating Jeffrey Epstein in July 2006, and agents expected him to be indicted in May 2007. A prosecutor even wrote up a draft indictment after multiple underage girls told police and the FBI they had been paid to give Epstein sexual massages. Also in the files, documents involving Epstein's friendship with the former Prince Andrew, his correspondence with one-time Trump advisor Steve Bannon, New York Giants co-owner Steve Tisch, and Elon Musk reaching out to Epstein at least twice to plan visits to Epstein's Caribbean island, where much of the sexual abuse supposedly occurred. Donna Warder, Washington.
In Florida, iguanas stunned by the cold fell from trees and citrus is freezing, a byproduct of the bomb cyclone that's bringing flurries to parts of the Sunshine State, says National Weather Service meteorologist Peter Mullinax.
It's an impressive cold shot for sure, and there are daily records that are being seen down in the south. This is largely one of the coldest air masses that we've seen to reach down into parts of Florida since about December 89.
In North Carolina, Governor Josh Stein says they had the kind of snowstorm the state doesn't often get, with up to 16 inches in some places. He's urging folks to stay off dangerous roads.
This is no joke. This weekend, we saw more than 1,000 collisions, including two fatalities, and a major traffic jam involving more than 100 vehicles on I-85.
A huge swath of the U.S. from the Gulf Coast into New England mired in extra cold temperatures. There were additional deaths reported in some of those states, including people found dead on the streets of New York City and in Mississippi and Tennessee, where the power remains out for thousands. I'm Julie Walker.
Power outages and prolonged exposure to frigid temperatures carry a risk of hypothermia that cannot be ignored. The dangers are especially high in areas where people and infrastructure do not typically experience extreme cold. Even at seemingly routine winter temperatures, the cold can tax the body over time. Emergency room doctors want people to layer up, stay hydrated, and check on their neighbors. People also should not hesitate to get to a warm place before they reach their limit. If someone is shivering for a long time, it's time to get ahead of things and get them somewhere warm. If someone is confused or showing more severe signs, call 911 right away. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
The U.S. Coast Guard is suspending the search for anyone who may have survived the sinking of the Lily Jean, a 72-foot fishing vessel that ran into trouble off the coast of Massachusetts. On Friday, U.S. Coast Guard Rescue Coordinator Timothy Jones said there was an alert from the Lily Jean, but no Mayday call, as the vessel navigated the frigid waters off the Atlantic with seven people aboard.
It was initially located approximately 22 miles east of Gloucester, of Cape Ann. And our understanding is that they were coming back in full of fish. We understand that they might have had a casualty to their fishing gear, which required them to come in to fix it before they could go back out.
The Coast Guard did launch a search Friday morning and located a debris field near where the alert was sent. There was also a body in the water. I'm Donna Warder.
A Nevada jury has convicted Dances with Wolves actor Nathan Chasing Horse of sexually assaulting a minor. Chasing Horse was found guilty of multiple sexual assault charges.
Guilty of sexual assault with a minor under 16 years of age.
Prosecutors say he used his reputation as a Lakota medicine man to prey on indigenous women and girls. The guilty verdicts mainly involved a victim who was 14 years old when the assaults began. In 2012, Chasing Horse allegedly told the girl that the spirits wanted her to give up her virginity to save her mother, who was diagnosed with cancer. He then sexually assaulted her and told her that if she told anyone, her mother would die. Chasing Horse had pled not guilty to 21 charges in a case that sent shockwaves through Indian country. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
I'm Seth Soutell, and this is the AP Markets Report. Stocks fell on Wall Street while gold and silver prices plunged as investors tried to gauge what President Donald Trump's new nominee to lead the Federal Reserve will mean for interest rates. The S&P 500 dropped 0.4% Friday. The index had been down as much as 1.1% earlier in the day. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 179 points. That's about 0.4%. The Nasdaq Composite gave back 0.9%. The value of the dollar rallied against other global currencies, but only after swiveling a couple of times. Huge rallies for gold and silver prices screeched to a halt. The price of gold dropped 11%. Silver plummeted by more than 30%. Treasury yields held relatively steady in the bond market. Seth Soutell, New York.
Bad Bunny made history with a win for Album of the Year at the 2026 Grammy Awards.
Bad Bunny, debut.
The 68th Annual Grammy Awards in Los Angeles made Bad Bunny's album Debí Tirar Más Fotos the first Spanish-language album to have taken the Grammy's top honor. Miss Lauryn Hill returned to the Grammy stage to pay tribute to the late D'Angelo and Roberta Flack. Other winners included Billie Eilish, Jelly Roll, and Lady Gaga. Olivia Dean won Best New Artist. Kendrick won the first televised award for Best Rap Album and Record of the Year. That brings Kendrick to a total of 27 career Grammys, the most of any rapper.
So with that being said, we're going to continue to move like that. Luther forever. Cheryl, thank you so much if you're out there listening, watching. We appreciate you at the bottom of our hearts. Luther forever. Thank y'all.
Audio courtesy of CBS and the Recording Academy. I'm Haya Bishinani.
The self-titled Melania Trump documentary debuted with a better-than-expected $7 million in ticket sales, according to studio estimates Sunday. Amazon MGM Studios paid $40 million for the rights, plus some $35 million to market it, making it the most expensive documentary ever. While the result would be a flop for most films with such high costs, Melania was a success by documentary standards. At the premiere, the First Lady said she was proud of the film.
It's beautiful, it's emotional, it's fashionable, it's cinematic. And I'm very proud of it.
The documentary is directed by Brett Ratner, who had been exiled from Hollywood since he was accused of sexual misconduct in 2017, something he denies. I'm Julie Walker.
Gifted Canadian comic actor Catherine O'Hara has died at 71. Known for her roles in Home Alone,
Kevin!
And Schitt's Creek.
Dad, I cannot show you everything.
Okay, well, can you show me one thing?
The Emmy Award-winning actor O'Hara died at her home in Los Angeles following a brief illness. That's according to a statement from her agency, Creative Artists Agency. O'Hara gained fame through Toronto's Second City Theatre. She was also one of the creators of the sketch comedy show SCTV.
I am your instructor, Lucille Hitzker, and today my guest is Perini Scleroso.
Most recently, O'Hara turned to drama in HBO's The Last of Us, earning her an Emmy nomination, as did her recent role as a Hollywood producer in The Studio.
I don't recognize any of them.
They're influencers. Most of them don't even go inside. They just make their red carpet TikToks and leave.
She's survived by her husband, Beau Welch, and sons, Matthew and Luke. I'm Haya Pinjwani.
AP Sports, I'm Geffen Coolbaugh. At 22 years and 272 days old, Carlos Alcaraz has become the youngest men's tennis player to complete the career Grand Slam of majors. The world's top-ranked player denied Novak Djokovic his record 25th major and secured his 7th, rallying for a 2-6, 6-2, 6-3, 7-5 win to claim his first Australian Open. A nearly 23-year-old Don Budge in 1938 previously held the record.
I'm really happy that I just pushed myself to be better and, finally came this year.
On Saturday, new world number 3 Elena Rybakina upset top-ranked women's player Aryna Sabalenka 6-4, 4-6, 6-4 for her first Australian Open title and second major. NFL, the Raiders were nearing an agreement with Seahawks OC Clint Kubiak and the Cardinals hired Mike LaFleur as coach. LeBron James was selected to his 22nd consecutive NBA All-Star game. 76ers star Paul George was suspended 25 games for violating the league's anti-drug policy. NHL, the Lightning rallied from 4 goals down to beat the Bruins 6-5 in a shootout in the Stadium Series. Justin Rose broke the Farmers Insurance Open scoring record as the first wire-to-wire winner at Torrey Pines since 1955. And MLB, the Reds signed Eugenio Suarez. Federal safety officials have concluded that late NASCAR driver Greg Biffle was not flying his jet when it crashed last month in North Carolina, killing him and 6 others. The National Transportation Safety Board released a preliminary report on Friday. It states that while an experienced pilot was at the controls, no one on board was qualified to serve as co-pilot. Biffle, along with retired airline pilot Dennis Dutton and his son Jack, noticed gauge malfunctions on the Cessna C-550. Biffle's wife Christina and children Ryder and Emma, along with his friend Craig Wadsworth, also died in the crash. I'm Geffen Coolbaugh.
A 25-game suspension for Philadelphia 76ers forward Paul George for violating the NBA's anti-drug program. The league making the announcement Saturday, but not disclosing the substance. This is the 35-year-old player's first violation, according to the agreement between the NBA and the Players Association. The suspension will cost him approximately $11.7 million of his $51.7 million salary. He's expected to return March 25th. George has averaged 16 points in 27 games this season, ranking 3rd on the team. His first year in Philly was marred by knee and abductor injuries, resulting in him having one of the worst years of his NBA career. I'm Julie Walker.
President Trump announced an IndyCar race through Washington, D.C. this summer. It's part of America's 250th birthday celebration. The race is scheduled for August 23rd. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy says there won't be gridlock on D.C. streets that day.
But to think 190 miles an hour down Pennsylvania Avenue, this is going to be wild.
The race route will include the National Mall. Roger Penske is owner of IndyCar.
And we're excited. Be areas for people to see. Most of the grounds will be free.
President Trump is relishing the prospect of cars roaring past the White House.
It's going to be so exciting, and I love the race. I don't have a lot of time to watch it, but I love the racing.
The president is urging organizers to pick the best race route through Washington streets, even if they're more complicated logistically. Ed Donahue, Washington.
Iran says it has summoned all the European Union ambassadors in the country to protest the recent listing of its paramilitary Revolutionary Guard as a terror group by the 27-nation bloc. Iranian Foreign Ministry spokesman Ismail Baghaei told journalists on Monday that the ambassadors had been summoned the previous day. The European Union decided in January to list the Guard as a terror group for its part in a bloody crackdown on recent nationwide protests in the country. While the move is largely symbolic, it does add to the economic pressure squeezing Iran, particularly as the Guard has a major influence on the country's economy. I'm Karen Shamas.
On this week's AP Religion Roundup, a town once controlled by a polygamous sect
emerges transformed after court supervision. The towns of Colorado City, Arizona, and neighboring Hilldale, Utah look much like any other town these days, with weekend soccer games, a few bars, and a winery. But just a few years ago, outsiders would mostly encounter walled compounds, women in prairie dresses, and a deep distrust of outsiders.
I don't think 15 years ago you could have just drove into town and felt comfortable calling somebody and just going and having a conversation with them.
Willie Jessup is a former church spokesman for the polygamous sect that once controlled the towns.
Today, I don't think anybody would think that was abnormal.
Courts wrested control of the towns from the sect whose leader and prophet, Warren Jeffs, was imprisoned for sexually assaulting two girls. The fundamentalist Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints controlled most aspects of the town. Families were broken apart by church leaders who cast out men deemed unworthy and reassigned their wives and children to others.
Warren had taken the word my out of the vocabulary.
Donya Jessup says that on Jeff's orders, children were pulled from public school and followers were told how to spend their time and what to eat.
It wasn't my house, my car, my food. It was the prophet's house, the prophet's car, the prophet's food.
Isaac Weiler says the church and its leaders tried to control every aspect of town life, including the police.
If they did something that didn't show that they were 100% loyal to them, they just laid them off, fired them, got rid of them.
Now, the towns have transformed so quickly that they were released from court-ordered supervision last summer, almost 2 years earlier than expected. Donya Jessup says the change is dramatic.
For the first time, we own our own land. Before, it was all owned by the UEP, the United Effort Plan, which was the church.
But Willie Jessup says there have been some trade-offs.
That opens the door for things like crime and drugs and things that the community had never seen or knew anything about. It was kind of blindsided with some of those issues.
Even so, he says life is better now.
You know, we call it life after Jeff's, and frankly, it's a great life.
I'm Walter Ratliff.
I'm Terry Lipschitz, thanking you for listening. Audio provided by the Associated Press. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss an episode.